Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yana is yours, Philly Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550, and don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Facebook, Big Face, Sookbook, shut up. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, we're going to catch up with, have a yarn with Deadly Sister, former BBM staff member, Judith Hudson, and chair designer. She's an artist, own business and own right, entrepreneur, businesswoman, who've been contracted to Yindi Manufacturing. And they've got the contract to do Indigenous art on furniture for Officeworks Australia. A fantastic contract, and got the lovely sister in the studio. A very good morning, Janice. How are you, sis?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for coming along. Good to see you. Long time no see, sister.
I know.
How are we living in the same town, don't see each other?
You're too busy for me.
No, when you're on Sheridan Street, I must be on Lake Street. We'll just keep sister. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
My mob are Uruman and Western Yalanji from North Queensland.
Yes, beautiful. Deadly footprint. Thank you very much. So, entrepreneur, artist, that you're in your own right. And you've been contracted to a Yindi Manufacturing. So tell us how this come about. Tell us that the work that's on hand. And congratulations with this beautiful contract.
Yeah, thank you. It's been an amazing journey. So about 2 years ago, we've been on this sort of, you know, process, trying to sort of have this really great vision on working and collaborating with Officeworks. So Ramon Close, who is the founder of Yindi Manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Big shout out, Ramon.
Yeah, had reached out to me about 2 years ago and had this really great grand vision to, you know, put Indigenous chairs.
It takes 2 years for it to become into reality.
That's it. Vision. All good dreams take good time. And yeah, he had this really great vision that he wanted to put his, Indigenous Australian-made chairs and have them in Officeworks. You know, yes. That would be great visibility, especially for not only an Aboriginal company, but for an Aboriginal artist as well to be featured on that, because that makes sense. So, you know, Yindi's principles on Australian-made furniture, glue, foam, everything, is not imported by China. It's Australian made. So it was a really great kind of principle to sort of be a part of, and a great
Indigenous
opportunity.
Manufacturing company, Indigenous artist.
Yeah.
Hand in glove.
Yeah, yeah. Great, so great. From start to finish, it sort of has that authenticity about it as well. So it's been a great to be a part of, and to finally be able to have the chairs in a national company like Officeworks, which is, a leading, company within Australia. It's, it's been great.
My Bupa need to go shopping.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know what these chairs are, but they're not mine.
Sorry. They're black. They're all deadly black chairs, but no artwork there. But look, this is a great concept. And look, it just also, we are storytellers, and your beautiful art, you tell a lot of story with your work. And it's, here we are working in the economy. Mm. So, and fit in both camps, entrepreneur, businesswoman, but still culture. And here it is, front and centre, with, a franchise. When we're talking about Officeworks Australia, that is a big company. Mm. And it's great that they're engaging with black manufacturers, black artists.
Mm. It is. And it is great to see, and it didn't come without its challenges,
sure.
In terms of, it's a business, and, financially, trying to, negotiate, how to kind of, price points and all of that sort of stuff that Yindi sort of had to do.
Yep.
But, it's hopefully the start of something bigger, for access and opportunities, especially, like myself. I think the next step as well for me is to start my own textile company. That's something that I've always wanted to do. And
yeah.
It's going to be called the Dreamweave Collective.
So it broadens your horizon as well to the vehicle that you're driving.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the dream is obviously I've had really great opportunities that have kind of given me, you know, national exposure, and I really want to try and give that back and to be able to, you know, start off with me as an artist and try and, you know, be the guinea pig as such in business and try and, you know, troubleshoot all of those different things that I can, and then eventually bring other different mob, you know, to put their artwork in the spotlight and be able to bring, you know, financial and economic opportunities. That's the dream, you know.
That's the dream, exactly, and turn it into reality. Fantastic. Now, we talk about Officeworks, Australia, Officeworks, established back in 1994. Look, it's a franchise, a big company, operating about 171 stores across Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the company that's been engaged by Yindi Manufacturing.
Yep.
So give us a bit of background regarding Yindi Manufacturing. Who owns it? And you mentioned Ramon.
Yep.
Ramon Close.
Yep. Yeah, so Ramon is the founding director of Yindi, and so he's sort of the big driving force behind that.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And so that's in Brisbane.
Mm.
And so all of the chairs and the manufacturing is all done there. So it's, an Australian-made company. They send everything, you know, everywhere and anywhere they need to around Australia. And, you know, office chairs is sort of their bread and butter, but they also do a whole range of other different commercial office furniture like ottomans and, you know, two-seater lounges and things like that. So yeah, so the dream would be to, you know, expand that and look at, you know, how can we kind of, you know, get our stuff into commercial spaces and work with architects and new builds and
exactly
and see where that can kind of go to.
Exactly. So for our artists out there, or for our black people in business, to engage with a black manufacturer, for example, and then a contract of conversations happening regarding Office Australia, a franchise in itself, a big company. Tell us your communication. I mean, you're talking about 2 years ago. How did that come about? Did Ramon see your work, or you came across at an art exhibition and yarning and?
Yeah,
paint that picture how it all unfolded.
I think when he contacted me 2 years ago, he sort of, you know, there were things sort of bubbling in the background, but, you know, with business, you know, things don't happen overnight. So
sure.
I think it's that persistence and determination, you know, on trying to see some things through and troubleshooting all of those different aspects of business. And I don't know. I think he probably just came across me on Instagram, I think, because not only as a visual artist, I'm also a graphic designer as well. So that's sort of a bit of the part one and two of, I guess, the artwork design on how to kind of take it to that sort of seamless textile, which is a little bit of a unique selling point, I guess.
Yes.
And trying to come up with a design that, you know, if it did have national exposure, you know, going into Australia, I mean, we're from Cairns, so we're very primed with, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture. But when you look at the rest of Australia, you know, are people ready? You know, we sort of have those different conversations where, you know, what do we put on it? How in your face or how bright and, you know, bold can we kind of really go? So that's how we sort of settled on a black and white design, which is kind of, you know, simple and streamlined, which is the basalt black fabric. So it's the design is based on, you know, the volcanic stone, which is obviously important to me, but is a stone that's, you know, volcanic stone is found all around Australia. So something in terms of the design that all people can kind of relate to as well.
Sure.
So,
and then we've got the rainforest and got the Great Barrier Reef.
That's
up
this right.
Way as well, you know. And I know you've done a lot of work in with tourism operators up here as well with your artwork. And so, look, it is a force to be reckoned with. Congratulations. So here we are 2 years. The deal's been closed now. This is all green light running.
Yeah.
You now have started the work.
Yeah, you can go on Officeworks and search the Butchler Collection by Yindi, and you'll see all of the basalt black chairs pop up there in the search.
Good. Too deadly, my sister. Congratulations there. Now, you do a bit of work as well, joint venture with your beautiful father, DH, Dark and Handsome, David Hudson. You're talking about going for a trip next week to Brisbane. What's happening there?
Oh, yeah. We're Mum, Dad and I are heading down to Brisbane, and we're starting a creative project, which is the details we can't really tell too much about it. It's a bit high level, I'm sure.
Hey, Uncle Trevor, yarn, and we can just tell me what's going on
with the rest of the world. it's a new creative project. I think all I'll probably say about it is it's new, it's innovative,
good.
It'll push the boundaries on cultural education into new spaces.
Yes.
And perhaps it won't just be for Australia, it might be for all different walks of life around the world.
Yeah,
so
beautiful.
Watch this space, and when we can share more, I will definitely get Dad to come and spill.
Here we are, Buchan Street in Cairns, bungalow.
We won't forget about
North
you.
Queensland. Thank you. When you get to the top, I'll wash your car, mow your lawn, I'll do anything. And then we're talking about, Officeworks Australia. Now we're talking about Whirl. Thank you. Too Deadly. Aventa, and enjoying that journey.
Yeah. I mean, it's a self-employed journey, so it doesn't come without its struggles. I know you know that too.
Exactly.
You know, it's up and down and, riding the ebbs and flows. And I think with all of these different opportunities, it's not something that happens overnight. It's a long journey. And if you can stick it out, that's when big things happen.
Sure, exactly. So there's beautiful words there from Jadess and regarding focusing on your vision as an artist, as a business person. We black people, we can rise. Here we are, we are entrepreneurs, business people, just happen to be black. So, look, fantastic. Look, congratulations, Jadess. Very good to see you again, my sister. You used to help me with this daily program, National Tall Black, for a good couple of years there. You were here at Bummer Bipper Media and went on to big and better things. And Murray is still talking on the radio. Well, shut up.
You're good at what you do.
Thank you, my sister. Big love to your beautiful mother and father. And we'll talk soon, Jadess.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Beautiful, young. Congratulations. And black success, black business, entrepreneurs. That's what it's all about. And we are operating on the Big Island. And we are talking about businesses as well in all facets. And all industries, and so very important. And I think you scored well, Officeworks Australia. And Yindi Manufacturing, congratulations. Ramon Close, as the proud founder of Yindi Manufacturing. And it's great to see black people at the table. And joint ventures, business deals going on, which is fantastic. Open up a lot of doors. Have you say Nyana Strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Hey, Tugamahan,
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yana is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Now, the recent Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide Report findings. It's out, and we're going to catch up with Yana now. Brodie Moore, veteran and CEO of Media Links. And we have Brodie on the line. Brodie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, Brody. Brody, where are you calling from? Where are you based?
Brisbane.
Brisbane, all right, thank you. Thank you, Brody. So, Brody, you're a founder, Media Links, Access, an organisation led by veterans, which is pivotal in speeding up the mental health conversation process to ensure that veterans receive timely and comprehensive care. There's still a lot of work to be done in this space. Hey, Brody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, obviously the Royal Commission in Defence and Veterans Suicide, you know, highlighted that, and there's about 122 recommendations in the final report. So, yeah, it's definitely time to get to work and create some positive change and reduce the amount of suicide in the ADF and veteran community.
And when a veteran puts in an application or communication with the government, there's a waiting time, isn't there?
Yeah, there's often a waiting time with the Department of Veteran Affairs to process the claim, you know, for injuries that have been, you know, potentially have been suffered because of their service in the Australian Defence Force.
And Brady, we're talking physical and mental injuries, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sorry, could you say that one again?
I'm sorry, I said we're talking injuries, we're talking physical and mental and emotional,
yeah,
you could say,
exactly.
All the above.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and not just combat related either.
Yes,
you know,
okay.
Often the findings in the Royal Commission found that there's a huge, you know, a lot of issues in terms of trauma being experienced from other issues within defence, like bullying, harassment, sexual trauma, and stuff of that nature. So, yeah, obviously invisible injuries, which mental health injuries are, you know, often, you know, go unseen, and a lot of people, you know, are obviously struggling.
Look, it's a vehicle, it's a space where you would think that there'd be protection in all facets while being a part of the ADF, but there are some potholes, you could say, in more ways than one.
Yeah, that's right. I think this is the main theme of the Royal Commission, and it was mentioned in the first section of the first volume in the final report that a lot of ADF members, you know, obviously signing up to potentially, you know, give their life, you know, in service of their country, but are often feeling a little bit let down, you know, by the system and by the government, you know, and not necessarily getting that support back to them.
Yeah, exactly. Brady, just give us a bit of background. You were enlisted as a rifleman in Australia Regular Army at the age of 17. So enlighten us your story, please, my friend.
Yeah, exactly right. I joined, you know, straight out of high school, like a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people, you know, some people obviously serve long careers in the ADF, and other people, they might not be sure what to do after they finish high school and go off and, you know, join the ADF to maybe learn some skills or learn a trade or, you know, and I highly recommend that to people that are unsure about what to do or, you know, as an option. So, yeah, I did that, and then I transitioned from my time in service to a career as a registered nurse. So, you know, I've got a deep passion for helping people, and obviously I, you know, do that in healthcare.
No, fantastic. So tell us a bit about Media Links.
Yeah, so MediLinks, we established that at the start of 2022 to really help with the issue of accessing mental health services, particularly specialist medical services. We're talking psychiatrists here. So,
yes.
You know, obviously there's a whole heap of medical professionals that are amazing, that are helping, you know, Australians, you know, around the country, and But unfortunately, when it comes to, you know, mental health compensation claims and getting evidence and you know, information for the department to be able to assess that claim, they need to see a psychiatrist. And there's not enough psychiatrists in the country. And so we wanted to try and help with this issue and address this bottleneck. So we've got a team of expert psychiatrists that are, you know, and a lot of lived experience in our team. And you know, we're working to help veterans and support veterans with their mental health and their assessments in a much quicker period of time. And address this issue.
Brody, is Media Links, is it promoted through the ADF? Are they well aware who you are and how you operate? And is there a joint venture there?
You know, it's widely promoted through to all ADF members and ex-serving members. And the good thing about our services at the moment is it's all by telehealth, so we can use technology to our advantage, which means we can access people all around the country, you know, people in regional or remote areas. Doesn't matter where you are, as long as you can obviously access a computer and an internet connection, then you can access mental health services and get that support.
Well, that's beautiful. And if not the individual as the soldier, you know, male or female, but then family members need to be aware of this as well, you know. We're all in this together. Exactly, we need to reach out and promote whatever's out there to support and help veterans in more ways than one, Brody.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, just last week as well, was on Tuesday was World Suicide Prevention Day. On Thursday was Are You OK Day, you know, and really powerful messages and days to spread awareness about mental health and you know, the and suicide. And we definitely all have a role to play in the community in preventing, you know, suicide and you know, improving the mental health and well-being of people. So, you know, information is power, and you know, we want to spread that information out there.
Well, excellent, Brady. And this is fantastic. I mean, we're yarning here on National Talk Black, a community radio station, but it goes across the country, First Nation radio station. You know, because we do have First Nation soldiers out there in the same boat. So, look, here's another tool, here's another vehicle promoting Media Links. And thank you for your yarn. Please do keep in touch, Brody. And heads up, keep smiling, brother.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I actually served in North Force, and there was a number of First Nation soldiers in our unit, and served with a number of First Nation soldiers. And it doesn't matter, you know, the colour of your skin or who you are, your background. You know, we're all fighting for a purpose and common cause, and want to support everyone.
So true, my friend. Well, all the best, and you take care, Brody. All the best, brother.
Thanks so much. You too.
Bye bye. Adeliander, Brody Moore, his name is, veteran and CEO of MediLinks, Media Links, that is, and he's the founder of Media Links Access, an organisation led by veterans, which is pivotal in speeding up the mental health compensation process to ensure that veterans receive timely and comprehensive care, because sometimes very sad, but the waiting time of an application or in queries is about 368 days, that's close to a whole 12 months. There's got to be more focus in on protecting and looking after, supporting our soldiers, black and white, young and old, men and women. There it is. They fight for this country and fight for us as Australians. Look, it's come to time where Trinity Trev signs off for today's program, your mob. Thank you very much for your company. National Talk Black, it is your program. Murray just steering the ship here. And I do enjoy this program. And a big shout-out to Bummer Bipper Media, CEO, and the staff and the board of directors. And also a big shout-out to NERS, National News Radio Service, who puts us across the airways. But stay tuned, because you'll hear NERS giving out the news very soon, the top of the hour. But thank you for your time, your mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll be yarning soon here on National Talk Black. Too deadly.
There was a friend of mine on murder. The judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty, gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Ain't breaking the rocks on a chain gang. I'm breaking out, heading home. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a jailbreak. Liberty. All in the name of liberty. starting to fly everywhere, and people start to scream. Big man lying on the ground with a hole in his body where his life had been, but it was all in the name of liberty. All in the name of liberty to set me free. Yeah, right. Had more than I could take. I gotta break out of here. Heartbeats, they were racing. Freedom, he was chasing. Spirits dying, no use trying, but he made it out with a sheet around his neck.
Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootropperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootropperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootropperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootropperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootropperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I
remember the day. Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? Too deadly. All right. Now, doctors urge parents to be vigilant with increasing invasive meningococcal disease, infectious, expected early spring. Look, with this, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Karen Quick, who's CEO of Meningitis Centre Australia. And we have Karen online. Karen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So here we have doctors urge parents to be vigilant with increasing invasive meningococcal disease, infectious, expected early spring. So what do we need to do? And is this disease contagious, and where are we at with it, please, Karen?
Look, it's really important, parents, that you check that your kids have had their vaccination. Really important. Mm. It is early spring. We see a lot of it in children, teenagers especially. It is contagious in the fact that if you're close to someone and they sneeze or they cough, they can pass it on to you. About 20 to 30% of us actually have it without even knowing in the back of our nose and throat, and we can pass it on to somebody. And it's when it invades into the body and it goes to your brain and your spine, that's when you have a real problem.
So tell us more about the disease. Like I said, do we have a cure for it? And can it become fatal?
It can become fatal. About 1 in 10 people will actually die from meningococcal. So it's really important you know all the signs and symptoms. Mm. And if you know those, the sooner you get to the hospital and the sooner you get help and you ask the question, could it be meningococcal, the sooner they can get the antibiotics into you.
Okay.
It is just so important to seek that help.
All right, so here we are, urgent. So it comes in at certain times of the year, or is it always about?
You know, we see a lot of it end of winter, early spring, but it can happen to anywhere, anyone, anywhere, any place, any time. Yeah.
Sure.
So we have to always be aware, but especially at the moment, we're seeing a lot of it up in the Cairns area.
And when you're saying tetanus needle, that's for everybody, does that then prevent you from catching meningococcal disease thereafter?
Yeah, there is a needle from a meningococcal B, and what that does, it helps protect you, just like all those sort of vaccines do. It helps you to prevent you from getting really, really sick.
Sure. So it's what are the symptoms like when you do catch meningococcal disease?
Well, it can look a little bit like the flu, but the difference is that you keep getting worse and worse every 20 minutes. So things like a high temperature, vomiting, that you're really tired, and with kids you have difficulty waking them, a sort of a blank staring look, really, really your lights hurt, your eyes hurt to light, cold hands and feet, you don't feel hungry, the kids refuse to eat anything. Babies get like a really horrible high-pitched cry, really loud, and they get a sort of a soft spot or a bump on the top of their head. And, of course, there's the pale and blotchy skin, and that develops into a rash, and that's really serious when it gets to that stage. So if you see your child, they're just really weak and lethargic. If that's happening, just go straight to your doctor or go straight to the hospital and say, could this be meningococcal? Every second counts.
Mm-hmm. So what we'd need to do to prevent this happening, we're talking about fresh fruit or orange juice or to prevent. I mean, we're just living our life and we don't know what diseases we pick up.
What we see in teenagers is that, you know, they love being really close and personal things. They share everything. They huddle up. So I guess it's remembering a little bit of social distance, not to share, you know, drink bottles and food.
Yeah, okay.
As always, eat healthily and remember to wash your hands and cover your mouth when you cough. They're really quite simple.
Well, it's just like the flu, so it can be caught, sneezing, coughing, whatever, and we're all socialising and playing out there with other people. So it's just about being cautious about covering your mouth and that sort of stuff and doing the right thing in regarding association space.
It really is. And just leaving that little bit of distance for you so the germs can't travel from one person to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about it's contagious, as you're saying, but then that can go throughout the community, then, could it not?
It can go throughout the community, and we have seen in communities where you'll get three or four cases that will happen.
Yep.
Just because by nature, you know, we love to all have, you know, live closely and we work closely, we play closely.
Okay.
Just remembering, like, back in COVID, you know, we just all had to social distance a little bit.
Yep.
And it's, you know, probably not as big as what COVID was.
No, but COVID, but the, and the actions that, our activity, our communication, our association back when COVID-19, well, we've had a taste of it, so we can sort of step into that mode once again, so to speak, can't we?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And it's just really important. And just little things like just not sharing, you know, your lipsticks, your mouth guards, your food, your whistles, especially our teenagers and our babies, they love to share everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So just being vigilant as mum or dad and make sure that doesn't happen.
Karen, thank you for shedding light on this sad, increasingly invasive meningococcal disease. Look, fantastic education. This is great. So I'm going across the nation, this beautiful yarn. So thank you for sharing. And look, please do keep in touch. And all the best to you and your team. And we'll talk soon, Karen.
I hope we do. Thanks for that.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Karen Quick is her name, CEO of Meningitis Centre Australia. And all doctors are urging parents to be vigilant with increasing invasive meningococcal disease.
infectious, expected early spring. So just after winter into spring is usually when this disease comes about. So do your bit, your mob, to cover your mouth when you cough. What's the association? If you feel a sneeze coming on or what have you, then do check it out. Check with your doctor as well, and even mention the word meningococcal disease. We need to clear it out. This is your daily program, you mob. Have your say and yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabib Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, too deadly.
Where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Me, you call a Kungai, from Yoruba. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother?